You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. It looks like we've got Mfundisi on the line. Let's see if he has connected. Pastor Chifamba, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Derek. How are you, my friend?
Nah, doing all right. Much, much better. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pastor, welcome once again to the Maranatha Drive. We really appreciate you for joining us this afternoon and for this week, really, as you take us through this series, The Power of Prayer. And really want to understand if truly there is power, or is it sentimentalism and, Christian rightness that we feel like we would offend God if we really say this thing has no power. It's a good thing to do, but really there is no power in it. So we truly appreciate that you're going to be in that hot seat, and we're looking forward to the conversation that we're going to be having once again. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, Mfundisi, we're looking at prayer and the power thereof. Now, what I picked up is for all intents and purposes, we really struggle with believing in the power of prayer, and we're going to go deeper into that as the week goes by. But what I picked up, and the reason I start off with this kind of a negative tone, is you notice that we usually only believe in prayer when we are in trouble, as though it's almost a clutch. Even atheists have been known to utter prayers when things are not in their favor. Is that the definition of prayer? A lifeline when in trouble? It's like a life jacket. No one looks for it when everything is going well. Is that to be our understanding of prayer as well?
No. That's not meant to be our understanding of prayer. But what I can tell you, before we go far, there is power in prayer. And because there is power in prayer, that's why the devil often battle with us when we are praying and throw more temptations as we pray. But now, back to the question, what I will say, when it comes to prayer, if we were to define prayer, we will say that that's communication between God and us. Communication between a friend, somebody and his friend, opening your heart to your friend, that's prayer. That's how we should define it. Not to use it as a life jacket when it comes to problems, or as a bulletproof for problems. No.
Yeah, I guess it's because of the way things are happening, is it not? I understand it's, but when you say communication, what does that really look like? Because, I mean, when you look at the way we've used it, are we saying we're abusing prayer? Does God then not come through? Or, I mean, if he's been coming through, then what's the problem? What's the fuss about?
Actually, God does come through for us. Whenever we need him, he does come through. But the problem is the adversary, the devil himself, mm-hmm. the fighter. He would often throw things that would help us to believe that prayer does not work. Another thing that makes us to believe that prayer does not work, it's where we come from, from our different backgrounds of religion.
Yeah,
we have been given things that substitute prayer. To take a look at our African beliefs.
Okay.
You'll be given some roots, you'll be given some water, you'll be given some stones. That kind of works like as a substitute of prayer. Then hence, when now I'm coming to you saying, Derek, please pray with me, and you don't give me anything, I begin to then doubt prayer. Yet when it comes to prayer, I should not doubt prayer, but I should come in faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 will say so. Whoever comes to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those that are looking for him. I'm paraphrasing that verse. So when I come to God, I only come to God in prayer. I'm communicating with him in prayer. So as I communicate with God in prayer, I need to have faith that this thing works. But then the devil whispers, hey, from your previous religion, your forefathers, they were believing in these stones. They were believing in these roots so they can get answered by the ancestors and by the gods themselves. Then it then makes us without prayer.
Okay. Maybe talk to us about purpose, Mfundisi. What is supposed to be its purpose, this idea of praying? Because surely it's not to inform God. He knows already. What is it supposed to be the goal? What are we doing it?
The goal is to strengthen a bond that we have with God. For any relationship to survive, for any relationship to work, we just need one simple thing. What do we need? Communication. Even in our marriage life, if we don't communicate, the marriage will die. It's not that I do not know the needs of my partner. It's not that I do not know the needs of my children. I know them. But as they communicate, as we dialogue, as my daughter, as my son comes to me and says, Daddy, I'm in need of ABCD. I'm in need of school fees. I'm in need of school books. It strengthens the bond and the relationship. So from my point of view, I will say prayer, the sole purpose of prayer is to strengthen the bond that we have between us and our Father who is in heaven. Remember, he is our Father, by the way. So he is our provider. He is our protector. So when I'm in trouble, I run to my earthly father and say, Dad, I have a problem.
Yeah.
He rescues me. Our heavenly Father is there to do the same. Not that he does not know. He knows. Because somebody might say, what's the point of praying when God knows all these things? No, he knows. But and, the purpose is to stop.
Can I be tongue in cheek, Mfundisi? And I want you to notice the way you're defining prayer and the examples you're giving how we run to our earthly parents when they're in trouble. To say, isn't that then that's actually where we started to say prayer is for trouble. Prayer is not for good times. Prayer is not for everyday life. It's for trouble. If I'm not having any troubles, I don't need it. Because even the language we use when we talk about prayer is that when we are in challenges, we can pray.
So when I'm doing what I'm doing, when I'm happy, I communicate with my parents. I call to check on them. Mm-hmm. Hi, mom, how are you? Just as much as my son will come and say, good evening, dad. Good evening, mommy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even if you're not in trouble, you have to go. When I'm celebrating my birthday, or when my mom is celebrating a birthday, I'll call and say, happy birthday. That's a good note. It's not trouble. So prayer is meant to allow us to communicate. Allow us to communicate when we're happy, when we're sad, and when we're discouraged, when we're over the moon, when we're filled with anxiety, when we're filled with happy, whatever situation that we're passing through, we are just supposed to communicate. We're just supposed to communicate. I think for this week, for us to understand it better, let's say we're just supposed to communicate.
I like that. We're just supposed to communicate. The examples that you give, one would say they are almost apples and bananas in terms of comparison, or even worse, apples and footballs. They're both round, but they are definitely not serving the same purpose. Because we I think one author would say prayer is like speaking to God, like to a friend, if I'm not mistaken. And we had a question that came through the other time in another platform where they were saying, but that's really not fair to make that comparison because it's not like that, is it, though, when you talk about prayer? I mean, when I'm needing a friend right now, I go to my friend and I say, friend, hey, nyako, I'm in trouble, or I need help, or I just need an ear, or you know what, I just got this promotion. The friend is not going to say, go read one of the letters I once gave you. You know, the friend is not going to say, keep quiet, and then I just anticipate, no, my friend loves me, therefore they will be happy about what I'm going through, or, hey, my friend cares for me, therefore since I'm going through this tough time, they understand. I'm not going to be making an assumption. I can see in their face, I can realize immediately with their comfort, with their touch, with their hug, with their embrace, with whatever it is that they are physically responding to me on a also real-time basis. You know, I don't have to wait and search a passage later on to find out, actually, does my friend really care? You know, how can we bridge that gap and make this claim that prayer is communicating? Whereas it almost sounds like it's not even a two-way radio where you must say over at the end of the sentence. It might not even be Morse code. It's pushing it out into the ether and hoping that you will get a response when you look at it practically, is it not?
I'm tempted to say, even if we look at it practically,
yes.
When you are done talking,
mm-hmm.
he responds.
Okay, how is it audible? Is it feeling wise, emotional? Is it what is that response looking like?
Okay, from my standpoint, I'll say, whenever we are praying, whenever we are talking to him, he normally whispers that little voice in your heart before you even read God's word. That will direct you to God's word. That's him answering you. It's just that sometimes he answers in different ways. Fine, okay. Yes, his answers are yes, no, wait. But sometimes he answers by directing you to the correct passage of scripture. Because he has written these things. You'll remember sometime last month we spoke about the book of biographies.
Mm-hmm.
So he will say, hey, look at what I did to so-and-so. I still have got the same power to do it to you. So there is that small still voice that actually comes to you. and whispers to you.
If I don't have this small voice, Mfundisi, can I then take it that my prayer is not heard or my friend is offline? How must I interpret silence? Because there are moments of silence. I'm not sure if everyone who's tuned in now can testify. No. Every time I've prayed, be it a good morning, Father, I've heard a still small voice saying, hey, good morning, my son.
Hey, his silence is not his absence.
No, I don't deny.
He's not offline. He's not offline.
Uh-huh.
He is there online. But his answer might be, wait, my son.
Wait to good morning.
Wait, my son. Normally, if we are to agree on this one, Derek, you'll discover that the moments when we feel like he's silent, it's when we run to him in trouble. But when things are okay, yeah. When I'm done praying, I've got peace of mind. When things are okay, when I'm done praying, sometimes it gives an immediate answer. But when I'm in trouble, that's when most of the times I tend to say he's silent.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm saying his silence does not mean his absence. I'm simply saying he might look like he is silent, but he is not silent. He has responded, but not at my time.
Mm. Mm.
So there are days, hear me well. There are days when I pray to God, dear God, I need money for bus fare. Come through for me now. According to my time, I'm saying come now. But his time is not my time. He is always on time. He knows the best of times because he's my father. It's just like going to dad and saying, Baba, I need ABCD.
And when I'm not needing, how are those prayers answered, Mfundisi? I hear the need ones. The need ones, it's very nice to philosophize and theosophize and come to those good responses. But how about the ones that I'm not in need? How do I verify and quantify those answers? Because here's the challenge, Mfundisi. What it will end up looking like is that those who pray and those who don't pray, the outcomes look the same. If I wake up today and I didn't pray and I wasn't asking anything, and I didn't need anything, and I go out by my day, and I come back home later. You wake up, you pray, you're also not needing anything, you're just communicating. You don't get an answer, you just go out. Maybe it do not depend on the people. Do you want a warm, fuzzy feeling as a response? Then, yeah, you can have it. I might not be bothered about fuzzy feelings, and I might go out already with the fuzzy feeling without praying. How do we now say, no, prayer without those audible answers, which, again, we are promised, is like to a friend, but this friend doesn't answer in the way that human friends answer. How do we balance that? Actually, there's a difference in praying, Bazarani. This one prays and this one prays, and you can notice their lives are different. Whereas in actual fact, when you try to scrutinize, you might struggle to find the difference.
You mentioned something very interesting, that sometimes when I pray, I don't get the answer. I go through the same problems as those that are to pray, as those that don't pray. Sometimes we go through something, but I want to say there is a difference. The difference is we have peace of mind when I have prayed.
Okay.
If you are trusting in prayer alone, when you have prayed, you've got peace of mind. That verse that says, I will give you peace, you can actually feel the peace.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are praying on a happy note or on a sad note, you can feel the peace. But if you are to ask those that do not believe in prayer, you know, so sometimes I come across them in the buses as I travel to and from. You hear them saying it out. They will tell you that, hey, there's this thing that troubles us day and night. We don't sleep. But on the contrary, those that pray to him, they have peace of mind. So we might look like we're on the same boat, but we're not on the same boat. We might look like we're on the same ship. We're wearing the same jacket, headed towards the same direction, but we're not. We have hope that he will do something for us. But before he does something for us, we have peace of mind. Remember, I will send you back to what I said earlier on. God answers with a yes. God answers with a no. God answers with a maybe or with a wait. Now, in these three answers, as he answers us, sometimes the answers are instant. Sometimes they're not instant. When they're not instant, he gives us peace of mind and takes care of our daily needs. Sometimes, even now, when he says no, when we are disappointed that he has said no, he does a very simple thing. He gives us his grace, which is sufficient for us.
Okay.
I think that's what Paul would say to us. Hey, my grace is sufficient to you, Paul. Paul was asking for eyesight. Dear God, hear my eyesight once again so I can see clearly and do your work clearly. But God says, no, you're okay like this. My grace is sufficient. So the difference between me and that other person who has just done his things willy-nilly without even talking to God, without even taking, doing whatever, whatever, we have a very big difference,
mm-hmm.
Which is that we have, you know, a peace of mind.
So Fundisi, if I pray and I don't get peace of mind, then there's a problem.
Pray again. Pray until something happens.
All right. But it's essentially,
as one of my old pastors would say,
yeah,
push means pray until something happens.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pray up until you then get an answer. Yeah. Our biggest mistake, Derek, as human beings, is that I go to God and say, dear God, I need APCD. Dear God, thank you for this. I want him to answer instantly. And I stop.
That's
praying.
What a friend does, Mfundisi. When you speak to your friend, he answers immediately. So we're just trying to hold to that promise that we were told. When you pray, it's like speaking to a friend. There is no really a problem, I would think. Because if you promise a friend.
Sometimes, humanly speaking, now, let me say this like a human thing. Humanly speaking, let me not spiritualize this one.
Okay.
Humanly speaking, sometimes you can talk to your friend and he doesn't give you the response that you want. And just goes like, okay, I've had.
But at least there's a response, Mfundisi. The one I want is a secondary thing. We are talking about a response.
I type to you, dear Derek, you know, my friend, I'm going through APCD. I need to talk to you.
Yes.
Singly. Or you try and call me. The number you have dialed is not correct.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yes.
There is the element of waiting.
We must take note, Mfundisi. In that moment, you have proved yourself unfriendly to me. We must account for that. When I have needed you and you have not come through, that is termed unfriendliness. Because a friend comes through, even if they can't provide what I need. To be honest, a friend says, hey, sorry, man, I can't provide what you need, but I'm here for you. I'll pray for you. I will do something which might not meet the need, but I'm here. Silence. Hi. That's unfriendly.
Let's make another maybe example of the
question. Mfundisi, we'll have to go. Can we bring the example tomorrow?
It's okay. It's okay. I think we'll pick it up here from here tomorrow. Where we are looking at these things of prayer,
mm-hmm.
and how they are good when it comes to communication,
yeah,
and the other benefits of communicating. But as we go, master this one. His silence does not mean his absence.
His absence. No, I hear you. I hear you, Mfundisi. And we also want to touch on this idea of the power to say, when we say power of prayer, what does that mean? Is it changing the course of events? Or what exactly are we talking about? But for today, thank you so much, Mfundisi. Truly appreciate you. May God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.